That encounter with the Rhodes piano had nonetheless been dramatic for him. It came just after he had taken up Scientology, and with it began to wonder about the effect he could have in the world. He had never wondered about it before. Growing up in Chelsea, Massachusetts, he spent hours experimenting on the piano, alone in his bedroom, into which the piano, like a spacecraft, had to be hoisted by a crane. His father was a Dixieland trumpeter. Music sang round the house, and the joy it gave him did not seem to need sharing. Now he thought it did. Music was a story he could tell, to fill people's imaginations. He noticed, too, how stars like the Beatles sold themselves as entertainers to huge crowds, while jazz players still haunted their smoky clubs. He wanted to play innovative, heart-lifting jazz on a rock star scale, too. To the fury of purists, people with no curiosity, he thought, jazz fusion became a great commercial success. But he was still exploring. Even as fusion arrived, he was playing avant-garde acoustic stuff, indulging his wild atonal piano-string plucking side with a group called Circle. Later on, with fusion all the rage, he played sessions with his friend Herbie Hancock on a couple of concert grands, jewels of improvisation on anything from Duke Ellington to Bartok's Mikrokosmos. He loved the family rapport of bands, but also needed every so often to check out the world alone. Synthesizers quickly followed the Rhodes piano, but he seldom gave up the chance to commune with a Steinway, even if sometimes in trainers or in one of his Hawaiian shirts.